ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, Jules and Jez here. Join us as we unpack the news of the week on Not Stupid.
It was genuinely fascinating to me that so many men were like, I think about the Roman Empire like at least once a day.
I have my doubts about this.
You think? Okay, tell me.
Does it not just sound so absurd?
Yes.
You can find Not Stupid on the ABC Listen app.
There's anger, there's horror, there's terror. I still carry a lot of terror that catches me by surprise on the street, in different places. My body's still really recovering. I'm still in some way looking for a gunman, you know, like I'm hypervigilant.
Jessica Chapnick-Khan was at Bondi during the December terrorist attack. She'd been at the petting zoo with her daughter. Now she's trying to find a way to live with a new reality.
And I hear that voice tell me, you know, you shouldn't feel that, or that's not a loving space, or that's not a constructive space. It's all in. It's all in. Just how is heart going to guide this thing that you're in? And the spectrum of places that I'm inhabiting on a daily basis is vast, very vast.
Today, on this National Day of Mourning, Jessica tells us her story, and we speak to the commissioning editor of the Jewish Independent about what's unfolded in the aftermath of the tragedy and about the fractious political debate. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Bondi Beach, the scene of Australia's worst mass shooting since the Port Arthur massacre.
What we saw yesterday was an act of pure evil.
We've seen anti-Semitism, but this is another whole level. I don't know what's happened to our country, and we need to take it back.
And it just defies belief as to why someone would do something like this.
We're broken and we have to grieve. This stops life. This destroyed whole worlds. Things can't go back to normal. It's fundamentally changed this country. There's no coming back from it.
Jessica, a few days after the Bondi attack, you came across a photograph of yourself and your daughter in the New York Post. I just want you to tell me about that photograph. It was quite incredible.
Yeah, I can't believe that photo was captured. I don't. It's hard to get my head around it. It was extremely surreal to see myself from the outside and something that felt, by the next day, it felt like I dreamt it. And then to see that someone had captured it and that it had actually happened, that someone had witnessed me being there, the surreal nature of it was just beyond. And seeing how I looked and how I was moving and the way my little girl was following instructions exactly how I told her.
Yes. And in this photo, of course, you're running. You have your daughter in your arms. As you say, she's shielding her eyes. You've told her to do that so she can't see what's going on. There's a policeman in the background. Actually, it makes me emotional thinking of that photograph. So I can't imagine what it's like for you to look at it.
I'll tell you what was happening exactly there. The shooting had just ended. So we'd all just, you know, I'd heard everyone getting up and I heard everyone saying to their children, don't look, don't look, don't look, cover your eyes, which I never would have thought of had I not heard parents say that. So I told my daughter to put her head right inside my neck and I stood up and I saw everything around me, which was a bloodbath, and I walked like a zombie. I saw that policeman, the one that you see in the picture, and I walked, ran, I don't know, like a zombie. And I literally said to him, what do I do? They were the words that came out of my mouth. And he just said, run home.
Mm.
And so my daughter's, you know, still doing what I had asked her to do. And I was just still, I guess, in that picture, there was still, I could hear people screaming, there's a third gunman, there's a third gunman. So it was still
terrifying.
Even though the shooting was, the shots, the sound of the shots was over, there was still this sense of just by being upright, just by having a body, just by moving in air, something could happen to us.
Mm. You'd been at, of course, the petting zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, and you write about running with the crowd and then just instinctively, as other people had done too, laying on top of your daughter, so people laying on top of the children.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's probably the only blank I have because I... It was a lot of time to think, you know, because the shots and the shooting itself was so long. And there was so much time. But the bit that's hard to recall is the running. I know we ran, but that moment from the middle of that little field to that area with all the parents and how we all decided to throw ourselves down, how we did it, how I jumped because there's that little concrete. All of that is a mystery to me. But I know we were all helping each other and I know someone may have helped my child. I don't know. And I was helping other children.
Mm.
But that's quite blurry.
Mm. Well, there's been, of course, a lot said and done politically and elsewhere since the attack. Do you take any solace in that? How do you feel about what's going on around you, about the debates around anti-Semitism, hate speech, about the politics of this? There's a lot of noise.
There is a lot of noise and there's a lot of important things that need to be addressed and that need to change and there's a lot of answers required and there's a lot to look at. I personally am not living in that space right now. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough people voicing all of that. Some of it is really disappointing what's out there. Some of it is really important. I hope that for me, as someone who was there, I'm staying where I need to live right now. And politics is not that place for me.
Mm.
Having said that, there's really important questions and really important action that needs to take place from this moment forward.
My name is Michael Visonte. I'm the commissioning editor of the Jewish Independent. On December the 14th, I heard about police going down to Bondi Beach at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, and my immediate thought was, is my son swimming there? He was. He got away, but it was a 15 or 20-minute period of shock and absolute numbness, hoping that he was okay. So I've been personally involved and also as an observer and member of the Jewish community since.
It was terrifying for so many people, wasn't it? It's just awful. Now, of course, you are the commissioning editor for the Jewish Independent, so you have really, in a sense, been living and breathing this ever since, reporting on it. Now, just tell me, Michael, what have you been hearing from the Jewish community? What have they been telling you? So much must have changed for them.
The overwhelming feeling that is still rife amongst the community is, in addition to shock, but anger. There's profound anger and there's a sense in which the broader community has not listened to the warnings of Jewish leaders and taken the signs from what has been happening. And this has not abated at all in the past month. If anything, it may have intensified.
Oh, interesting. Why do you think that is?
I think primarily it has been to do with the Prime Minister's delay in calling the Royal Commission.
mm-hmm.
which was unfathomable to nearly all Jews in Australia and possibly most people in the broader community.
Mm.
It gave a sense that the Prime Minister, although he said the right things when he did call the commission, was dragged into making the decision and that somehow his heart was not really in it. And so that's intensified a feeling, I think, within Jewish Australians that he is not really with them in the way that they would want and expect a national leader to be after an event like this.
Mm. The parliament now has, though, of course, passed these new laws to ban certain groups to address hate speech. There's new gun controls. How are they being perceived? Do they address anti-Semitism? Can they help to stamp it out?
Well, that's a question no one can really answer. Will only be seen in the fullness of time. I guess there's a feeling that the hate crime provisions that were introduced were divisive within the community because many people welcomed the harsher measures to specifically address hate speech and the impact that that can have.
Mm.
I think they certainly welcomed the gun control laws, although it must be said that within the Jewish community they were seen as a secondary measure compared to fighting anti-Semitism head-on.
Mm. It's become a very politicised environment as well, hasn't it?
It's been politicised since December 14. The divisions emerged straight away. The Jewish community did not invite the Prime Minister to any of the funerals of the Jews who were killed that day. The opposition leader was lashing out at the government over its alleged weakness on anti-Semitism. And those divisions and sort of ugliness have just, I guess, flourished since then, if that's the right word.
Would bipartisanship have been better in this instance, that we didn't have such a politicised environment? Would that have made it easier in any way for the Jewish community or for all of us, for that matter?
I think you're right there. It would have been better not just for Australian Jews but for everyone in Australia to have a sense that the nation was united in honouring and addressing such an unbelievable crime, really, and that would have given Jewish Australians a sense that the whole nation was with them. I think the day of mourning is going to address that in some way. It will certainly provide acknowledgement of the gravity of what's happened, of the reality of anti-Semitism as an ongoing threat, not just to Australian Jews but to all Australians. But it will also give Jews a sense that the whole nation is reflecting, feeling and showing solidarity with Australian Jews and feeling the same things that they are.
Been called now. Of course, that's a very lengthy and can be quite complicated process. But if there's one thing, what would it be? What would the Jewish community want out of this?
If there's one thing, it would be a sense of transparency, a sense that the whole of the nation can see what the Jewish community has been railing against and worried about for more than 2 years. For the commission to make clear that Jewish community was not crying wolf, was not playing the victim card too easily, as many of its critics have claimed, and that even before the attack on December 14, these attacks were not just real, but that they were serious and that they needed to be addressed, that people can see that this is not some low-level problem that has been overblown, and it acknowledges that not just to the government, but to the whole of the Australian community.
Mm. All right. Well, Michael, on this National Day of Mourning, do you think or do you sense that this is a real moment for change?
I would like to say that I have hope, but given the tenor of political debate over the last month, I'm a little more sceptical about genuine change than I would like to be, because there's just been so much division and rancour that the opportunity for goodwill from which genuine change can spring seems to have been missed. A sense of coming together is what's going to be the bedrock of genuine change for the better in terms of anti-Semitism.
Michael Vasante is the commissioning editor of online news site The Jewish Independent. Jessica Chapnik-Khan was at Bondi during the attack. If you need someone to talk to, you can call Lifeline on 131114. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.